So next, we'll spend a few minutes discussing mudita or sympathetic joy. So this is, sympathetic joy is kind of a funny term. We're referring to finding joy in the good fortune of others. Now, there is a way in which this kind of joy is natural. So imagine if you are around a being that is full of joy. You're around someone who's just feeling joyous and happy, or you walk down the street and you see someone smile. It's natural to feel like smiling back, right? It's natural to feel a certain joy too. If people are hard for you, imagine some people feel it more with animals. Imagine an animal that's just ecstatic. That, it's human is home, or it's got food or something. It's, you can just see this joy emerge for a child. We feel joy naturally. That's our reaction as humans. And yet we get in the way of this too, right? Particularly when we see people experiencing joy about things in their lives, we can tend to look at ourselves and compare our circumstances to theirs. Our identities, our ego gets in the way. So Tuareg had some words about this. She said that she always found it hard to think of finding joy, her own joy, in another's good fortune. And what she preferred was that we kind of borrow another person's joy in their own good fortune. We're kind of saying, ooh, I like that joy. I'm going to take that joy. And this is not so different from what I was saying with compassion about feeling and empathy, right? When you really get into someone's suffering and you feel it, right? That's an element of compassion. You feel that before you, and you feel the love along with that. Here we're talking about really connecting with someone else's joy and borrowing it, taking it upon yourself to bring it with you, So, there are a lot of benefits to doing this practice, to feeling sympathetic joy. You can deepen your connection to others, right? Imagine being another person on the receiving end of your sympathetic joy. You're feeling good about something that's happened to you. You're feeling happy and you see this response of joy. This person is truly happy for them. You can deepen your connection to that person. You're giving yourself more joy when you're accessing the joy of others. That's a clear benefit right there. You don't have to, this is an unconditioned kind of joy. That word returns to us again, right? This doesn't have to be that the circumstances of our own lives are those that would naturally cause us joy. We're talking about cultivating an ability to find joy out there in the world, even when it's not in our own living rooms with us, right? What a great gift to ourselves. In doing so, we're decreasing the burden of things like jealousy, right? Of course, this helps others too, to a degree, right? The feeling that other people get from our own joy. And lastly, in terms of why do this, I'll note that joy is on the road to peace and calm, right? When we discuss the seven factors of enlightenment, we discuss them in a certain order. Joy comes before the calming influences. It encourages us to stay on the road of meditation. It's a pleasant feeling that keeps us going to these points where we can feel calm. So how do we do it? One thing I'll mention, this comes to me from the teacher Yuka Namakura, who says there is a prerequisite, and that's the ability to appreciate. So let's not take this for granted before we start talking about joy. We need to cultivate the ability to see beauty, to see joy, right? And there is a sense in which we are combating a part of our natures. Right? We are programmed, as many of us have heard or understood, to seek danger, to look, not to seek danger, to seek out those things which could cause harm, those things which are a source of danger to ourselves. You know, we are all at the long tail of a series of ancestors who survived, right? That's why we're here today. So we've gotten very good at looking out for danger and making sure we're going to survive. You know, if, and we can see this so much in our daily lives. Imagine if you were doing a project or doing a piece of work and you got 10 emails, 9 of them were praising you and 1 of them was a little critical. Which one are you going to think about? Right? We seek out those things which seem like potentially worrisome things in our environment, sources of danger. So there is, in this cultivation of the ability to see beauty and to see joy, a certain going against that in order to balance out what we're able to see as we walk through life, right? We're cultivating the ability as we walk through an environment to see those things that are beautiful, right? See those things that are going on that are joyous. Notice the person on your walk to the grocery store or to the car or where, or on your drive to work. Notice the person who's happy. Notice the contentment. Notice the thing that evokes joy in your own heart. So this is about cultivating, right? The more we pay attention to these things, the more we're able to naturally pay attention in the future. We're creating neural pathways to be able to do that again. Another thing we can do is to ask, what is it that gives you joy no matter the circumstances? So this is perhaps understood in contrast. There are certain things that are harder to find joy in. You know, if you're looking for something in your life, like if you're seeking a relationship or a job or financial security or whatever it is, finding joy in the job or financial security or relationship or whatever it is of another can be especially hard, right? That's when we immediately move to this place of, oh, that's something I don't have. You know, what about me? Oh, it's really nice that that person has it. Oh, I wish I had that too. We start to go inward and we start to wish for these things for ourselves if it's a place of lack that we're starting. So this, I'll go back to this inquiry. So instead of starting there, as we're training ourselves to experience sympathetic joy, we might start with those things that give us joy no matter the circumstances. If there's an activity you enjoy, suppose you're into knitting, you know, imagine all the others, as you're doing this, imagine all the others who feel the same way you do about knitting and experience their joy as you're knitting. Imagine the community of people who are enjoying this thing. Or go to circumstances of joy where your ego isn't likely to get tied up. You know, we all can think of watching, you know, it's easy for a lot of people to watch a video of a kitten or a puppy that's excited or happy, right? Or a child. Why are we so able to connect to those sources of joy? I would venture that it's in part because we don't get in the way, you know? These aren't circumstances that are so closely connected to us that we don't see ourselves in it and start wishing, oh, I wish that was me, you know? So when we see circumstances that are sufficiently distant from our own egos and identities, and we experience joy in them, that can be an easy way to train ourselves. So we can cultivate those situations where we're able to experience joy easily. We can be on the lookout for them in our environment. Notice when you start feeling the first feelings of joy in anything you encounter, and try and nurture it, encourage it. The last piece of advice here on how to encourage joy is a little bit more challenging. I'll just name it. It is directly removing these strong identities that tie us to this sense of ego. And we can begin to experience a softening of our own egos, a softening of our identities, through cultivating through cultivating attention to impermanence, to seeing the causes and conditions that are behind any emotional responses that we have. As we feel these things, you know, perhaps you're in a moment where you wish you could feel joy, and instead you feel this selfing, right? Notice, oh, I saw this, and now I feel this way. And in a few moments, I might feel entirely differently. Before this, I felt a different thing. Seeing the impermanence, the fact that we move through these circumstances, seeing them, you know, seeing these emotions as a product of causes and conditions can kind of loosen our sense of ego, our grip on these things. And once we loosen these egos and identities, we can expand the sphere of things that we can feel joy for in others. We're no longer so piqued when we see the joy of someone else in something that used to really turn into selfing. Well, what about me? So we can gradually expand the sphere in this way.